Welcome to Opus Here. My name is Greg Horn. What kind of car, if you were sitting at a stoplight and some car pulled up next to you, and you're like, man, I'd love to drive that car. I'd love to have a car like that. Well, I think we all right now are thinking of different cars in our minds. Maybe it's a Porsche, a Maserati, a Mercedes, a Jaguar, a Lexus. I mean, the list, BMW, Range Rover, so many great vehicles out there, the options to drive. But a few weeks ago, I was fortunate enough to drive a Mercedes for a week. A friend of mine was going out of town on vacation with their family, and know that the two guys that live with me, Troy and Luke, that I'm trying to help get back on their feet, and we've been sharing one car. And so he said, hey, would you like to borrow my car? And I was like, oh, man, that would be a huge blessing. So I got to drive that, and first time when I got in, I actually bumped my head. So I had to get used to getting in a little bit lower because it was a sedan, a four-door sedan. Even though it was, I think, 10 years old, it still was in great shape and rode tremendously and just really, really enjoyed it. And when I had to take the car back that Sunday night and got in my 2009 Santa Fe Hyundai with almost 198,000 miles and a rust spot in it, started to have a little pity party. And I'm sure nobody else listening does that except for me, ever feel sorry for themselves or thinks, woe is me, and why don't I have a nice car like this or a nice house or get to go on that nice vacation. List goes on and on of things that we compare and we don't measure up. We think, woe is me. But I started doing that and found myself the next day, Monday morning, kind of lingering on and thinking about that when I was driving my 2009 car. And next thing I know, I sit there and it kind of hit me, God just saying, you know, be thankful, one, that you've got a car. And two, you know, Greg, you're the same person whether you drive a Mercedes or a Ford Pinto. A lot of you my age and older know what a Ford Pinto was, and that was not a real nice car, just a very, very basic economical car back in the 70s. But the fact of the matter was I kind of got my identity in driving that Mercedes, had a little hop in my skip, and actually maybe had a little swagger going on. And yet the fact of the matter is that God loves me, whether I'm driving a Mercedes or a Ford Pinto or a 2009 Santa Fe Hyundai with a big rust spot on it. And so it really started making me think, how do we see ourselves with God? Do we see ourselves, our identity with Him? Do we realize that, you know, God loves us and how much He loves us? And you know, one thing I feel like I need to kind of say from the get-go is there's nothing wrong with having a nice car. There really isn't. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So there's nothing wrong with having nice cars, nice houses, going on nice vacations, nice clothes. Just simple fact is that where your identity is? And I've had those nice cars and nice vacations and all those other nice things that the world has to offer when I had my store and was doing almost $10 million a year in sales. So I didn't have to worry about the price tag when I went shopping or got to go to the Cayman Islands, Hawaii on vacation. So I've been there. There's nothing wrong with those things. But I think sometimes we do kind of maybe look at people when we don't have those things and we compare and we start to get woe is me. And we start to wonder, why doesn't God love us more so we could have things like that? And so just from driving that Mercedes for a week, it really made me do a little soul searching. And not for a long time, but just thinking, I wonder if there's other people that have struggled like that, like I did. And I want to share four things that I learned from processing about after driving that Mercedes for a week. And maybe you can relate to these four. But the first thing I want to share with you and remind you today is you are valuable in God's eyes. You are valuable in God's eyes. And you are worth so much more than whatever car you drive, what house, neighborhood you live in, where your kid went go to college, and how well they do on athletics and academics, all those things that it's easy to get our identity in. And I want to remind you what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. I mean, I think about that. You know, Jesus, all that he went through, and he willingly laid down his life so that you and I could have freedom and have peace and have a personal relationship with God because of what Jesus went through. And as we know, I mean, the scourging that he went through, the beating, being whipped 39 times, I mean, it was amazing. A lot of people didn't even survive that. And so the cross itself being nailed to a cross is brutal and excruciating in pain. But even before Jesus went to the cross, those lashings, the scourging that he took with those whips that had pieces of glass and rock in them that just shredded his back. In fact, it was so bad sometimes that historians say when people got whipped like that, that you could see sometimes even the intestines in people's bodies because there was just no flesh left because of those whipping, the slashings that they got from that. And you know, if anybody ever doubts that Jesus was a tough man and wasn't physically and mentally strong, then you need to think again and would encourage you to see the movie The Passion of the Christ. So just to be reminded today that you are valuable in God's eyes, that you were bought at a price. And do not become slaves of human beings. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. When I talk about being the slaves of human beings, I'm talking about mentally in your mind. And we get into that compare game, and we've talked about it here numerous times. We talked about it earlier this week with Christian counselor Amanda Speaks. And the fact is that, you know, we look at Facebook, social media, Instagram, and we see all those great things going on in people's lives, the highlight reel of their lives, and we start playing that compare game, and we start to lose our value of who we are in Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage you to be reminded that, you know, that's not who you are, and to make sure that you remember how much God loves you. And we're reminded in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And it's one of those things that I have to be reminded of, that God knew, even though I would make sometimes selfish and bad decisions, that he still loves me, and that I need to ask for forgiveness and to repent, to turn and walk away from whatever that situation is, or words I speak, to think, you know, better and be more cognizant of the words I speak sometimes. But I just think sometimes we forget that we are a child of the King, a child of the Most High God, and that even when we disappoint God, just like Adam and Eve did first time that people were caught, you know, that people sinned and made selfish decisions and disobeyed God and were disobedient and knew that they had disappointed God, and they realized for the first time that they were naked, and they went and hid in the garden. And I'm so thankful to know that the Bible tells us there in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 3, that God went looking for them. He asked Adam, "Where are you? Are you hiding?" And didn't say it in anger, just knew, you know, that he had missed him and wondered where he was. And the good news is that God, over 2,000 years later, God is still pursuing us. God is still pursuing us over 2,000 years later. And so from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is God's love letter to us. And just want to remind you that no matter what car you drive, that God loves you and you are valuable in God's eyes. No matter what job you have, what income you make, whether you're married with children and grandchildren, or you're single, divorced, no children, or you're a single mom out there, I just want to encourage you that you are valuable in God's eyes. Second thing I learned from driving a Mercedes for a week, and it had all these buttons on it, man, and I mean, gosh, it was just kind of overwhelming at times, and even when I went to try to figure out how to put gas in the gas tank, couldn't find the right button to push, then I had to humble myself and call my friend, and they started laughing because he said, actually, Greg, all you have to do is go out and just push on the tank. As long as the car is unlocked, it'll just push open there, the little the gas tank there, the little slat there in the car where you push it to get to the gas tank. And I just was like, you got to be kidding me. And so I was making it way more difficult than it was. And that just kind of spoke to me that with our relationship with God, that sometimes we think more will make God love me more if I do more things for God. And, you know, it's kind of a badge of honor in our culture when people ask, hey, how are you doing? You're like, oh, I'm so busy. And I can remember I told you over the past year up until mid-June, I worked five different jobs throughout the year. And I really enjoyed four of them. I really, really enjoyed a lot. And yet I realized that, you know, this just is not going to be healthy and I can't keep doing this. But it was a badge of honor sharing about all that I was doing. And yet I knew it wasn't God honoring, and I was going to pay a price at some point with my health and was not obeying the Sabbath that the Lord asked us to do. And I just want to remind you, sometimes less is more. A lot of you know the story about Mary and Martha in the Bible, that Jesus is going to speak at their house, and the two sisters, Mary and Martha, and Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha's like, man, we got all this stuff to do. We got food to get ready, and we got to get the table set, and we've got a lot of things we need to do, Jesus. And she said to Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 41 and 42, Martha, Martha. Actually, Jesus is responding to Martha at this point. Says Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I want to ask you, what is it you need to say no to in your schedule so that you can have more time with God and be able to hear his still small voice? People say that, you know, hey, if you want to see a person's heart, see what their priorities are, take a look at their calendar and their checkbook. But I know some of you right now, you're just like, Greg, I am worn out. I will do that. I will look at my calendar, see what it is that I need to say no or eliminate from my calendar. But the fact of the matter is, I'm just really worn out. Well, I love that Jesus had a word for you today. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'll remind you again what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Friends, there is rest in Jesus. As my mom told me one time when I had just gotten into full-time ministry almost 16 years ago now, one time she sent me a card and just said, there is no burnout in Christ Jesus. And I didn't really totally understand that or appreciate the time because I was a lot younger and I was so on fire for Jesus, but she was right. And I want to say that to you, that there's no burnout in a relationship with Christ Jesus. So whether it's just in your personal life or doing too many things at your church, I want to encourage you to see what you can do to be still and know that he is God, and remind you that sometimes less is more. My name is Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
To go to the next level, you have to change the way that you think. There is way more inside of you than you can imagine.
Everyone has influence. Come to the Global Leadership Summit on August 9th and 10th and learn skills to help you lead transformation. The summit features high-impact leaders like Craig Groeschel, Angela Ahrens, T.D. Jakes, and more. Experience the Global Leadership Summit on August 9th and 10th. Register today at willowcreek.com/summit or call 800-570-9812 and use the priority code RADIO.
Local host site in Central Kentucky is Lex City Church. Check them out online at lexcity.church.